Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Milan Yurkovich and your phone calls. We're really glad you're watching or listening today. You can join us on the radio at 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son. He's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends. Okay, so number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan.
Hey, Steve.
Milan is author of the book How We Love, and now the new book, How We Love Our Kids.
That's right.
How do we love our kids?
Sometimes some better than others.
Yeah. Okay.
Some easier than others.
Some easier than others. Some less reactive than others. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited. Our book was just released about 3 weeks ago, and it's doing well. We're very excited about it. Lots of radio interviews and workshops, so we're delighted.
If I'm an avoider, how could that affect my kids?
Well, you're an emotionally distant parent. You will function on task and mastery, and if your kid strikes out in a Little League game, you're going to probably tell them not to cry, and we're going to come back in the afternoon and throw a bunch of pitches so you don't strike out next week. While that can be good, they're missing the empathic side, so they need to sit down with a little 8-year-old and say, you know what? I can remember striking out too, and it really hurt my feelings, and I was sad, and I was embarrassed. And let the the empathy connect.
Yeah,
and that's one change they could make that would be very big for their child.
Avoid saying I care about you. I was a loser just like you when I was your age. That's not what we're talking.
Oh, that's probably not good.
Yeah,
it's gone a little too far. Yeah.
And Dr. Dave Stoop, his new book just revised, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. Here, let me hold that up.
Yes. The definitive guide.
There it is. It's definitive. You know, a lot of guides are not definitive.
This one's definitive.
Yeah. It says that on the cover. So
they're indefinitive and they're indefensible. They're indefensible, but this is the definitive.
But Dave's not defensive.
And Gary Smalley said everybody ought to read this.
Nice.
See? So did I. Anyway.
You're in good company.
That's who I get to do the program with. And it's also who we get to run this race with. Look at this. This is the bib that you pin on for the Race for New Life, which is held in your community. If you'll go get 11 people to sponsor you at $10 a person, pay a $30 registration fee. Dave is going
to... I got to figure out how to mount that on my grill because I'm going to drive.
He's going to drive the pace car in his area. And we'll try to get some pictures.
And I'm going to swim laps instead of running. Yeah.
But anyway,
how am I going to drive the pace car for you swimming laps?
I don't know. Drop me off at the pool.
But the picture will mess the picture up that way.
Okay. So
Steve,
anyway.
Did we interrupt you?
No, it's okay. And so what we're trying to do here is raise money because we are on pins and needles on whether or not each month support's coming in. This is over the 17th. Now, to incentivize all of us, a donor came in and said, okay, love this idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay for 2 round-trip tickets and 2 nights and 3 days in Laguna Beach when you're taping the program. And whoever raises the most money, that's what you win. Now, sure, you have to pay taxes on that and all that. But anyway, it's a great thing other than that. No. So there's an upside here of just raising money is that the IRS gets additional and you get a trip to Laguna Beach. And we're going to love to we'll be with you and we'll have lunch with you and dinner and if you like to dance, we'll show you where to go to do that. Anyway, it's going to be great. Come join us for this race. It really could make all the difference in the world for our ministry if you could come. And every time 10 people support you at $11 or 11 people at $10, it pays for a day, an average cost of a day in your area for radio. So maybe you don't want to do this, but you could support us with one day of radio at $100. And $10. That's the average cost. We need your help. We've never needed it more. If you were ever going to become a new supporter of New Life, now would be the time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back for our phone calls here on New Life Live. And so glad you're with us today here on New Life.
my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back. We're going to go to the phones here. And I'm going to talk with Pam right here from Cincinnati, Ohio. She listens online. Hello, Pam. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
There's a lot going on. Let me see if I can give you a little. I've been married 18 years to my husband, who I met at church. We married as believers.
Mm-hmm.
We have four kids, ages 9 to 14.
Okay.
About 3 years into the marriage, I went out to my husband's workshop and found him looking suspicious. So after I pressed it and threw some lies, I found out he was dipping tobacco. That was the beginning of my finding out the deceit.
Mm.
Over the years, just the relationship was just deteriorating and empty. And we ended up going, I called New Life and got a counselor in my area and went there. He didn't want to, but went with me for a little while, maybe 3 or 4 visits, and then quit.
Mm-hmm.
And we quit, and it was kind of a wasn't sure about the counseling situation. Anyway, come to find out over the years, this is several years later, and after 4 of the kids are born, going out to his car to load my stuff in to go do a class I was teaching and pick up his uniforms out of the back and hear a bunch of clanking, and there's about 15 beer bottles hidden in there.
He's quite the sneaker. Quite the sneaker, huh?
Yes. So, you know, we've around the a little later job situation got where he was working 90 some hours a week, had to stay there because of the strike kind of a situation, a fill in, started to the household was just, you know, a mess. Lots of arguing, defending, defensive arguments. And come to find out, you know, I said, if you're going to hide the, you know, the beer, I didn't think. You know, drink in the open. Don't hide it. If you want to have a beer a few nights a week,
yeah,
I don't
right.
care.
Well, bring us up to date, right? What's going on now? And then ask us a question about that situation.
Okay. So what came out was that I eventually started finding vodka bottles hidden, like of the ductwork in the basement and such. He's also started going out with a young guy. He's 40 now. He was 30-something then, started going out with a young single man that was 23 at work. And I started finding out through bank statements and things that he wasn't going where he said. So anyway, he was refusing counseling. I kind of said, you're wanting to live like a married man, but like you're single. You know, you're married, you want to stay married but be single. You need to make a choice. Well, he kind of, you know, stayed at work because that place was there anyway.
Okay, now you got to ask us a question here because I think we get the picture that your husband has been hiding a ton of stuff from you. Now, what is the question for us?
The question is, I think that I know there's a tobacco addiction. I think there's an alcohol addiction. I've been to counseling myself several, but everything he does is hidden.
So,
and when I find
so the question would be what?
How do I, there's nothing blatant for me to say, you know, He's not hitting me. He's not going out.
You almost did it. You almost did it. How do I? How do I?
What do I do?
What do you? What do you do?
How do I? How do I? How do I handle?
Hey, Pam. Pam, you've described a very typical. You've described very typical alcoholic behavior. Hidden bottles all over the place. Your invitation for him to drink in the open, you know, he can't do that because he can't have the quantity that he can do when he sneaks about it. So you've got to get educated, and that means you need to go to a couple speaker meetings from AA. You need to go to Al-Anon and find out what you do. You don't have to have blatant evidence. You've got plenty of evidence that there's a problem, and you've got to get some help for yourself.
The other thing, in addition to that, is that you guys don't really have a connection in your marriage.
Not at all.
You're the mama. He's a little boy out there being bad. He's being a bad little boy. You catch him. He runs away from home. And I think while you're moving toward him getting some help with the alcoholism, you need to be moving to whether or not he wants any connection with you and is willing to do anything. But it's going to be hard to figure that out until he gets rid of the addiction.
But the important thing is, I'm sure there's other addictions in there as well because of his scheduling things. But you do not have to have concrete evidence.
Right.
Steve and I have been involved in a situation where the guy was shown pictures of himself coming out of a motel with another woman, and he said, and it was clearly him, and he said, "That's not me." You know, that's the nature of denial. And so you can have concrete evidence, he'll deny it. You don't have to have evidence. You got to do something for yourself, and you got to learn how to respond to this in a different way so that he has to face himself.
Mylon, your thoughts?
Pam, you know, this is a great lesson to all the listeners that being a Christian and being in church does not mean that this is a healthy person to marry. We oftentimes are naive and we think just because somebody's a believer that, you know, they're a good candidate for marriage. I think what I'm hearing lacking, and I don't blame you, but I'd like to suggest that you somehow include some empathy toward your husband, and here's how it would look. You must hurt on the inside, honey, because you are self-medicating with tobacco and alcohol. And what hurts so bad on the inside that you have to medicate it with these substances or by running or by going out and distracting yourself? What hurts?
We've been there.
So,
like 10 years of counsel.
So,
and the addition of my question is, I've gone to pastoral counseling, and just even as much as last week, and what they're telling me is, let's deal with the relational issues before we deal with the addiction.
Well, what I'm asking you to do is, what is the pain inside that he's covering up, and how long has that pain been there, Pam? If you've already done that, then you know the answer.
Well, he won't answer.
Okay.
Because there's no problem.
Okay.
So then there's something wrong with me.
So then there is something unaware inside of him as to what is animating his behavior. And what good counseling does, especially couples counseling, is it helps to get down to underneath the behaviors. What are the animating forces? How does your husband feel? When did he start these kinds of addictive behaviors? Probably started way before you ever met him, you see. So I would really work on the empathy piece. And then number three is I would work really hard to kind of get yourself a bit out of the equation with respect to him having to hide from you. Like Steve said, if you're playing the mom and you're sort of in this mom role, you want to get yourself out of that and just simply not be the policeman, but simply get to the point where you say, you know, honey, our marriage and our future is up to you. And then just back away. And you prove to me that I should stay in this marriage. And not having you to go so much on the parental role of being the policeman. You need to pull yourself out.
I stopped that a couple years ago. I was looking for things, and I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not looking.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to seek out anymore. It's been years. Things calmed down. He kind of went to a men's retreat and had kind of a, looked like maybe there was hope. He actually came to a counselor with me, a pastoral counselor.
Pam?
That fell away. Yes.
Pam, you are not going to fix this by going to see a counselor.
No, but what I want to know is how can I find a counselor in my area who understands the issue of the addiction and the deception, which I found out has been there since before we got together.
We'll help you with that, but let me tell you what I would do. If I were you, I would say to him, if you have any desire for this marriage to continue, let's go to this weekend, this marriage weekend, and see what happens. Okay, so when you're there, you're not just relying on the counselor to know about addiction, but you're relying on the fact that there are going to be some other people in that group who have dealt with their own addiction. Now, he probably started drinking to comfort himself in the midst of pain, right? I mean, that people drink because it feels good, it feels better. But along the way, I believe the addiction overcame that. And so he wasn't just drinking for comfort. He was drinking because he was addicted to it. As they say, the man takes the drink takes the drink, and then the drink takes the man. And he's in the drinks taking the drink. He's addicted to this alcohol stuff. So he's going to have to recover for anything to get better. But you need to get over a hurdle with him, and you need to help him see some light at the end of the tunnel. Comfort can come from relationship, that he can survive giving up the addiction. And that's the kind of thing that can happen at that marriage weekend. So I want to ask you to ask him to go with you as a first step. Then from there, you guys together can lay out a plan for the future, or you will know at the end of that time he does not want to be married to you.
Well, the other thing, Pam, that I would suggest, I would add to what Steve is saying, is I would find those meetings, let them know that you go, tell them you're doing it for yourself.
Al-Anon.
And the Al-Anon meeting and a speaker meeting, so you understand the nature of alcoholism and all of the ramifications of it. And just don't beat them up. Don't beat up on them. Or, you know, I'm glad you're not doing the hunting and searching anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that. You know enough. You know more than enough. And you just need to get the help from people who have fought the same battle and are winning that battle. And then get to that weekend.
All right. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible to give to him. And then I want to send you the book How We Love, and hope that that will be a blessing to you. Now, I want to tell you something. I read every evaluation from these weekends, and I have never seen an evaluation that said, my husband lied through the whole thing and the counselor let them lie. And I would see that, because we're always telling people, hey, look, just get there. But if it was happening, I would see it. Now, I'm sure somebody has at some point. But my point is this. There is a very little chance that a guy like him is going to come and continue to lie about all he's doing. It brings out the truth.
Wow, and we've got good group leaders who are very experienced and know what to do when they sense that.
Well, I think this is important to highlight, because we talked about Kay and Mylon doing sessions, and you're doing sessions, and Dave and Jan are doing sessions. But between those sessions, the couple will go with a therapist, and they will meet six times, six 90-minute sessions. And they will work with other couples, and with a therapist. And that is the place where work really takes place.
That's right.
And so if a couple doesn't know that it's more than just coming and listening to lectures,
glad you brought
they
that up.
Need to know that there's other work that's going to take place with a really sharp group of people that do this frequently.
Right.
And they're used to watching couples come in and working with three or four couples.
Yeah. Okay, so that's in May. And we hope you'll join us. We're going to be there along with some of the best counselors ever. Come because you want your marriage to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Or come because you want your marriage to be saved. Or come because you want to discover whether or not you have a marriage at all. Because if you don't have willingness on the part of that other person after a weekend like this, That screams very, very loudly. Well, before we go to a break, I want to mention to everybody, we do have the weekend. You can sign up at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Maybe you're not ready for a weekend. You want to go to one of our 900-plus counselors around the country in our network. You just go online at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask them, is there one of these counselors in our area? And I think you'll be thrilled. I think you'll be excited when you see what happens. Because, you know, we over the years, we discover the counselors that aren't any good. Or we discover the counselors that say they're Christians, but they're not. And so we've got a pretty short feedback loop on that. So we've got some of our major supporters. All we did for them was send them to a marriage counselor that saved their marriage. So whether it's the weekend or marriage counseling, Every Man's Battle, our Transformation New Life Weekend, or our Lose It for Life at the end of the year, or Wives in the Battle, all of those are weekends we do for you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. When we come back, we'll go right back to the phones with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. Steve Arterburn here. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, author of Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, and also that wonderful book, Forgiving the Unforgivable. Mylon Yurkovich, the author of How We Love, and the new book, How We Love Our Kids. It's a great one, and I know that, well, if you want one, you support the ministry, we'll send it to you, or you can go online at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So many more people are buying products online and supporting our ministry online at newlife.com. It really does make a difference to us. Let's talk with Mary, calling from Ventura. Hello, Mary. Welcome to New Life. She listens on KDAR. Hi.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Good. How about you? What's going on?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. I wanted to tell you, first of all, how much I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Really wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
We're thrilled we get to do it, that's for sure.
Well, good. I'm calling in regards to my 17-year-old daughter. She's preparing to go away to college, and she's an only child, and I'm feeling this range of emotions. I'm so excited, and then the next day I'm so proud as acceptance letters come in, and then I kind of feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there's something I can read or something I can do to prepare both of us for the separation.
Okay. All right. Both of you gentlemen have been through this.
Yeah, it's called the empty nest, and it's like you're out of a job, Mary, in a big sense of the word, because you're going to watch her now blossom as an adult. I don't know any books. I think having somebody, you know, talking with your husband about it, talking with her about the mixed feelings, those mixed feelings are very natural. You know, you talk about the pride of it and then the sadness of it, because it's like your baby's grown up. And now I'm watching, I've got a granddaughter that's doing that. So, I mean, it's much more fun with the grandchildren than it was with the boys.
You know, Mary, there's a treatment center that I think could really help you. And it's called Hobby Lobby. And I don't know if you've ever been in one of these stores. Have you ever been to a Hobby Lobby?
No.
Well, they're just full of things that you get to do now that you don't have anybody at home. And I think a big part of your sadness needs to motivate you to find other things to do that you love to do. Maybe you haven't had time to do them. And then find areas of putting into other people's lives the way you put into your daughter. So that you're not just there in the empty nest sitting there with no eggs to warm up. You have got things to do. You're on mission. You're on track. And you're doing some enjoyable things that you just haven't done before. Mylon, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think you need to read a book on grief and loss, because really when a child leaves your home, especially an only child, you are experiencing a new, all of a sudden, as Dave said, I'm out of a job. And there is a loss as to your role. There's a redefinition of self. There's a redefinition of marriage. And it's a crisis point for a lot of couples. As a matter of fact, after the house is empty, a lot of couples don't make it. They're so far apart at this point, they really struggle. So I would work really hard on simply acknowledging and validating that this mix of emotions, as Dave said, is very valid. We expect all of them. And then I would work on just giving yourself time to grieve. My three oldest kids left the house within 18 months of each other. I had two weddings and one moved to Hawaii within 18 months. And I was devastated. It was the fastest empty nest. And I was just, it rocked my world.
Yeah.
And it took me 6 months to kind of pull my feet underneath myself. And it was really a sad thing, as well as the fact that what it did is it reminded me of my quiet, empty house as a child. And I realized it was a time of connecting dots and realizing the quietness was a reminder that I had been distracted from.
Mm. And you're a man, and this is a lot more traumatic for a mom than it is for the dad, because dads typically have other things they're doing.
Well, and I was a busy dude, too, but I'm more of a sensitive guy, you know, and there are sensitive guys floating around.
Every now and then you find one.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and there is some great work there to be done on grieving.
And well, send Just Us.
And Just
so that's
Us.
That's a devotional that you and your husband can work on. That's going to
coming together.
As Mylon says, work on strengthening that relationship.
Okay, that's coming your way, and
valid issue.
Just know that you're right in line with what a lot of people experience, but they let it be a launching pad for their own emotional and spiritual growth rather than shut them down.
And you don't lose your daughter. You redefine the relationship, and that can be really exciting as well, because now you're two adults rather than a mom and
a
child.
The other thing you can do is do like I did. Get your daughter to go to a college about an hour away so you get to see her every week.
Well, you guys, I understand everything that you've said, and I really am a busy person. I have like a small family daycare, and I have six children.
Oh, cool. Wonderful.
Like three and under.
Oh, that's so great.
I'm involved at church, but I have been a stay-at-home mom, and she is my only child. And so even though I'm beginning to spend more and more time with my husband and reconnect, and I love that, I want so badly not to sob.
Yeah. No, go ahead and sob. Go ahead and sob. Get it out.
I don't know how not to do that.
No. Grieve.
Put your head in his lap and cry your eyes out.
That's right.
The way to get beyond it
is to go through it. If you fight the grieving, you'll get stuck.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right. Let's go to Ann from Boston, Massachusetts, WEZE. Hello, Ann. Welcome to New Life.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm so glad to talk with you. I've listened to you for 25 years.
Wow.
I think you've been on that long.
Close to it. Yeah.
And in Massachusetts, and got the book Boundaries, and it was like my Bible. I carried it around with me.
Great.
With four addicted children. I'm calling on one. I could be calling on all four, but I'm calling on one particular situation which just came up. It's the same situation repeated, but I have an older daughter who's exhibited more and more controlling problems the older she gets, and
okay.
She's in her early 40s, and she's been married twice, and my grandson has had three dads, and he's doing well mentally and physically and all that, but not socially as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the bonding has never been there with my daughter and my ex-husband.
Okay.
He has tried really hard to make that connection, and now he's cut her off completely, and the other children, two of the other children. She's verbally abusive. I heard someone earlier talking about narcissism, and that's occurred to me, too.
Sure, okay.
Many times. And she makes me, I've been told that I go under because she triggers a lot of the reactions I had with her dad, which is she kind of mocks me and laughs, and she doesn't hear ever, even when I try to reframe or say, well, this is how I see it, this really hurts me, and can you listen? And she'll hang up the phone.
Okay.
And
well, what's the
really
question for us? You've got an unhealthy daughter there.
Yes, I've been told she's toxic.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I've been told these things, so I've limited my seeing her. She's, you know, not too far from me. It's not like I have to travel hours, but I have limited see, and she has not allowed me to see my granddaughter.
Well, that's lovely. Now, what's the question for us then?
Well, we have Christmas at her house, but the latest big puzzle that probably will always be ongoing is I started to reconnect with her ex-husband 3 years ago. I had had it the way she was treating me, and she treated my husband awful that Christmas. He just put a glass down in the corner, and she flipped out on him. And
okay, so you reconnected with the ex.
I reconnected just like two or three times a year to see my granddaughter because he's closer.
Yeah.
And I have a pain issue, a lot of pain driving. And so I went to, I was invited to a birthday party, her 17th and 16th, I'm sorry. No, it is 17th. And anyway, she found out about it. We had really kind of kept it under wraps.
And she wasn't happy. She wasn't happy.
Oh, not at all. All right.
Now, so I think we really do get that picture of what you're dealing with there. How could we help you? What's the question for us?
I don't know if I'm supposed to stay away from her completely in order to never... I go home sometimes...
Okay, you want to know if you should stay away from her completely or not. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Dave, Mylon, you guys have some thoughts?
Well, as a grandparent, my interest would be with the granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't let me see the granddaughter... But the granddaughter's father does, then, you know, I would do whatever I can to have an influence and an impact on that granddaughter's life. Because the less you're with your daughter, the more likely something might turn a little bit positive. But the more you're with her, I can guarantee you it'll get more and more toxic. So I'll answer that part by saying, yeah, do it. And then I'd say, yeah, keep doing what you're doing with the granddaughter's husband, a father, rather.
Mylon, any thoughts from you?
So the granddaughter is 17, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, in one year she'll be 18. She can make her own decisions.
Plus, in high school, grandchildren get too busy anyway. You don't see them that much.
Well, but yet Anne may be that safe person that the grandchild likes to go to because that's what you want. You want to provide that safety and you want to provide the open door. So as you're... granddaughter becomes older, you need to treat her as the autonomous adult and simply say to her, you know, granddaughter, you're welcome to come to my house anytime. If you need me to pick you up, if you need me to do anything, especially when you turn 18, I'd be happy to be your friend. This can be a safe house, and please enjoy my home anytime. And you set up an independent relationship. I like the idea of having a relationship with the father. Your daughter, unfortunately, has very strong internal reactions and doesn't manage stress, and reactivity is all over the map. And so she's not safe. And when you have a person that's not safe, you have to really create a very protected relationship with them that is highly structured and perhaps does not have high levels of access. And maybe you do not go there for Christmas next year.
Mm-hmm.
You say, we have a different plan for next year. Last year wasn't safe. And your daughter may never listen to you the rest of your life.
You know, there...
well, actually, it was safe this year. It was the year before.
Yeah.
Now, Ann, you know what else?
That's because her boyfriend was there.
And, you know, the other thing you do a lot is you laugh as you tell us bad news. And,
that's right.
And that is not a good sign in terms of you being strong enough around her. You need to work on not laughing inappropriately when you tell bad news.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I want you to have, you know, that boundaries with your Bible. I want you to have boundaries with everybody but her. And with her, I want you to have restrictions. I want you to restrict yourself. And I want you to feel good about the restrictions. For instance, if she calls you on the phone, you have to say to yourself, I am going to restrict myself from getting emotionally involved with this conversation. I'm going to step back. I'm going to listen to my toxic daughter talk to me. But before I say anything, I'm going to restrict my response.
Yeah, you got to really change your expectations.
Yeah, that's right. So you need some restrictions on the relationship. And it might mean not going there for Christmas unless her boyfriend's there, because you've found that she's only nice when her boyfriend's around. Okay?
True. She seems to be, you know, perform very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think in that Boundaries book, they've got a whole chapter on not laughing when your boundaries have been busted, but to really allow yourself to be angry in an appropriate way.
Yeah.
One of the roles that anger plays in our lives in a healthy way is to enforce our boundaries. And laughter doesn't. Laughter makes a joke of our boundaries.
Yep. All right. I'm glad that you called. What would be a good resource for her, do you think?
Reframe Your Life.
Okay. We'll send you Reframe Your Life, which is just out in its new form, Walking into Walls. So I should have put a section in there on restrictions. All right. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the air. Now, here's a question for you. Are you going to Israel with us or not? Well, I want to play a video for you, a clip that was made while we were over there with Rami Levy, an ambassador from Israel, who talks about the issue of safety. It's the safest place you could go, really. It's unbelievable. But listen to Rami as he talks about the safety issue in Israel.
Israel is the safest place. Now, the question why is it the safest place, or why is Jerusalem safer than most Western cities, the answer is very simple. Any tour is comprised of a few sections. You have to fly to the destination. You arrive at an airport at the destination. You go to a hotel in the destination, and you travel around the country with a bus. Well, El Al is considered the world's safest airline. And actually, American Airlines flying to Israel are going through special security measures. Now, it's not Ambassador Rami Levy saying that. Condé Nast Traveler, which is one of the world's leading tourism magazines, did a research and a survey and found out that El Al is the safest airline in the world. Travel and Leisure, which is another major travel magazine in the U.S., has done a research about the safest airports in the world. And they found out that the Ben-Gurion Tel Aviv airport, the one that you'll be flying into, is the safest airport in the world. But most important, you know, those are technical issues, these are security issues, but the most important thing is that you can see, Steve, Israel is experiencing the record year of tourism. It's very, very a popular destination today. And the reasons for that are not just the fact that it's one of the most secure places in the world. The reasons is that there's not another Holy Land. This is the Holy Land. This is the land, and this is the city that billions of people pray for every day and are dreaming to come to. So I'm very happy that you're here. I'm more happy that your people are coming here in a few months, and I'll be here with you to welcome the people and to be with you throughout the tour.
All right, you come join us. Mylan is going to be presenting. Dr. John Townsend, Sherry Denham is going to be there, along with Stephen Curtis Chapman. I'll be there. It's going to be a great time. I hope and pray you'll join us for this Holy Land trip. It truly will cause your life to change. You'll never be the same. I really believe that. And I'm grateful we're doing this trip. We'll be back after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sights that bring history and scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the way. We will see it. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. All right. Before we go back to the phones, I just want to mention again the race. The race for New Life, 5K. Milan will be swimming his laps. Dave will be driving the pace car. All you have to do is sign up. It's $30 sign-up fee, which goes to pay for radio. And then you download your bib and you walk, you run wherever you feel best and get 11 people to support you at $10 each. You send that in, that's $110, and that goes to support one day of a whole day of radio in your area. That's the average cost. Now, if you get 50 people to do it at $11, that's 550. That's a week of radio. So I'm hoping and praying that you can do that. And just go to newlife.com and download it. You'll see all the information that is there.
Get 200 people.
And then what happens?
A month.
Yeah, a month with 200 people.
And you might win the contest.
Yes. The contest is whoever raises the most money gets a two round-trip tickets, two nights, 3 days in Laguna Beach. And you get to be with us, or you have to be with us. Either way, it works. So come and join us for that. We would really, really love for you to be part of this wonderful race to help us because we need your support. All right, our final caller for this program, but we've got another program we're doing afterwards, so hold on, we're going to go to Ashley here in Cincinnati. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go to Ashley here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she listens on WCYX. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's going on, Ashley?
Well, it's kind of a difficult story, but I'm going to try to wrap it up in a nutshell. I have a situation where my husband's brother and his wife have an adopted daughter that they adopted at a young age. She was sexually and physically abused.
Who did that abuse?
I'm sorry?
Who did that abuse?
Her biological father and some of his friends. And he ended up committing suicide when she reported this. And she was about the age of 11 or so.
Gosh. Okay.
When this happened. And she's went into foster care, and that's when she went with my brother and sister-in-law, and they ended up adopting her at around the age of 16. And about a year and a half ago or so, I'm not really exact on the time frame, but she's now 20. It came out that she and my brother-in-law had been having a sexual relationship.
Oh, my word.
Oh, man.
And that was just completely devastating to the whole family.
So what happened with that? What happened?
What happened was basically they moved her out of their home into an apartment, and she is on disability because she also has mental health issues.
Yeah, I guess so.
Obviously.
What happened to the stepfather? I mean, her father.
Was he my brother-in-law?
Yeah, was he prosecuted?
Hmm. Oh, no.
She's too old.
She was interviewed by pastors, and so was my brother-in-law, and basically had meetings after meetings, and she
claimed that this all happened after she was 18.
I see.
Although since then she has told me otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear is still there, and she says, yeah, I don't want to tell anyone because I don't want anything to happen to him.
Okay.
Sure, especially with her father, her real biological father, committing suicide after she exposed him.
Correct.
Well, what's the question for us?
Well, the question is, like I said, they moved her out and kept her away from us, and then by divine intervention, I believe God sent us her address because I prayed for her, and I said, I just want to know she's okay, she wasn't at church, anything, and we got back in connection with her and have tried to kind of help her because she has no other family living here, no one else, absolutely no one.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
The question for you would be, first of all, how do I deal with my brother and sister-in-law because I just cannot trust them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been a lot of covering up and a lot of lying, mm-hmm, and I just feel like I just can't be around them, and I don't want my children around them.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I don't. We don't blame you for that at all. Okay,
and
so
they are, as of right now, if something would happen to me, they're in my will to be guardians of my children.
Well, you would want to change
husband.
That. You'd want to change that immediately.
Today.
Right, and I do go to church with them. They were actually ministers. Well,
okay. Now, we are out of time. Is there any other question we could answer for you? We've affirmed you.
And also about maintaining a relationship with her, how can I help her? Because I think she needs extensive counseling and therapy.
Yeah. Well,
she'll need a lifetime of help, support, love, nurture, counseling, etc. A lifetime.
Being taken to some support group meetings and codependency meetings.
But you really have to get her with a licensed counselor, mm-hmm, who's experienced with sexual abuse
yes,
issues, because she has a deep wound and it doesn't get covered up. It's got to heal from within. So that's the primary thing that you've got to work
right
on, is getting her with a licensed counselor who's experienced with this, and then make that your mission to help her, accomplish that and pay for it. Even
rather than view her as a bad sister or bad wife, or see her more as a sick person who's gotten involved in this web, and feel sorry for her and treat her that way versus judging her and being angry at her because she got mixed up with this man.
Yeah, well, she's a niece that was victimized by a person that should have known better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that then sets the pace for what you're going to do with this brother-in-law, mm-hmm, and sister-in-law. They're not safe. I wouldn't put my kids near them. And they need help, and they need support, too. And I would only have a relationship with them if they were working on themselves very, very hard.
Yeah. But you also need to see what he and this niece did. It's different than what the father did when she was a child. I mean, she's... I think the age of consent is 16, not 18, mm-hmm, at least in our state. That's more adult to adult kind of thing. It's like that's more like the dynamic of an affair.
Sure.
Adding though the incestuous part of the family nature to it, so it's pretty bad. But they got to get some help too. But boy, my focus would be simply on that young girl and
agreed,
getting her the help that she needs.
Yeah. Okay. Hope that's helpful
to
you.
Tough
and
story.
I'm going to send you Forgiving the Unforgivable. I think it will go a long way in helping you to forgive who needs to be forgiven so that you can minister to them. And that really is the purpose of our lives, is to deal with our stuff, and while we're dealing with it in our imperfect state, to get on mission with God. And sometimes the mission is to get somebody to a meeting. Sometimes it's an arm around somebody on a regular basis that does absolutely no good. And then the 100th time that arm around them occurs, they break into tears. And finally, you've broken through a horrible wall there. That's what we want to see you do. We want to see you care rather than judge. And boy, is it easy to judge rather than care. And, we see the Lord telling us that story of the Good Samaritan, which is an example of disconnection and inconvenience and all the other reasons that we don't care. And it's an example of being judgmental. And so please, please work through that. Help the people around you. If you need help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us for Israel, our marriage seminar in May. So many other things like Every Man's Battle and Lose It for Life. Be part of this. Get a counselor in your area. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Get with us and grow too. We'll see you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.